Hold your calls, though, for a little while because we have a very, very special guest. His name is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and he's a neurosurgeon. He's written a fascinating book entitled Excitotoxins, the Taste That Kills. And basically, he's talking about what they're putting in your soft drinks, what they've used as a sugar substitute, what they sold to the American people as the answer to the fact that saccharin, if given in toxic doses 6,000 times or something, what the average individual would have, at least in cancer. Susceptible mice produce cancer, and so they brought aspartame onto the market. And of course, now that saccharin's back on the market, many people are still using aspartame as the sweetener of choice. And yet, as Dr. Blaylock points out in his book, and going into the scientific background, aspartame is potentially very, very dangerous because it has an impact on the brain. Dr. Blaylock, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, why don't you give our listeners just a little of the background of how you happened to write your book and then become involved in trying to let the American people understand the serious implications of what our government is allowing to happen to our people and specifically to our children.
Well, basically, I became interested because I was interested in nutrition and its relationship to brain function, being a neurosurgeon. I was researching various topics related to brain physiology and nutrition, and I came across a chapter in a book on that subject that had to do with MSG and its effect on the brain. It's a quite extensively researched article, and I was astounded at the enormous toxicity of MSG and how it was producing serious brain lesions, upsetting the endocrine system, etc. And based on that article, I realized that there was a tremendous amount of MSG being added to foods, and the American public was totally unaware of this research that had been done. I looked through the library to see if there were any consumer books or lay books written on the subject, and I found only one. So I realized that no one was, other than this one person, was telling the public the danger of these food additives.
Now, what's the relationship between MSG and aspartame?
Well, the relationship is that they both contain an amino acid that's something we call an excitotoxin.
Right.
And basically what that is, it's an amino acid that causes certain brain cells to become very, very excited to the point they rapidly exhaust themselves and die. And these brain cells that are involved play a very important part in our memory, our ability to think and reason. They play an important part in controlling our endocrine system, that is, our thyroid gland, adrenal gland, reproductive organs. They have a lot to do with our emotions, playing through what we call the limbic system of the brain, that is, anger, fear, love, hate. So we know that these substances are having very, very profound effects on our daily functioning.
And yet, of course, the average individual is never told of the potential danger either of MSG or of the aspartame that is in all of the soft drinks we're drinking.
That's right. All of this was pretty much buried information when I first delved into it. There were several groups that were working to try to alert the public about the dangers of both MSG and aspartame, but they were poorly funded and really didn't get a lot of attention. Which is unfortunate because they turned up some very interesting data and information. There were quite a few scientists and physicians and clinicians that had contributed to this information showing that these substances were enormously dangerous.
And yet that information was being effectively suppressed both in medical literature and information available to the public. And, of course, now there was a government report and that was, at least it was a report, an independent scientific report that was done up for the Federal Drug Administration, they were going to research the dangers of MSG and aspartame. Why don't you give the background of that report? Because, I went to a great deal of difficulty to try to get that report. The government, the FDA, Public Relations Department, would not make it available to me. I was referred to another organization that had done the report, and they made it extremely difficult to get that report. And after reading it, I can understand why they didn't want the public to get that report, which was the basis of our current policy on aspartame. Would you like to tell our listeners about that incredible report?
Yeah, it was an amazing chain of events. Basically, this all occurred at the time of the hearings by the FDA on the approval of aspartame for general use by the public. This was about the period 1979-1980. G.D. Searle Company, which was the company that originally made NutraSweet or Spartame, they conducted their own research, and their research indicated that there were an enormous number of brain tumors, ovarian tumors, tumors of the breast and testes that had been produced in the animals exposed to aspartame compared to control animals. Based on that report from the company itself, the FDA investigators originally were quite concerned and would not approve aspartame. The company repeated the experiment, and then they released their new results saying that there was no evidence that aspartame increased these tumors.
That's sort of like having the fox guard the chicken coop to find
exactly.
out who's actually stealing the chickens. We're going to have to take a quick break here. As I remember, and I've read the reports, I've read the book, and many of these animals, offspring, where the mother was drinking the excitotoxins when the offspring was in utero, many of these animals actually had measurable brain changes. Now, of course, we can't do this with our own children. We can't dissect them once they're born, but they did this with animals, and they found that depending upon how much of the aspartame or MSG or excitotoxins the mother ingested, there were serious consequences as far as the child. Now, we're seeing an awful lot of attention deficit disorders. We're finding real brain changes in many of our young people. Doctor, I was talking to our listeners about the studies that were done with pregnant animals, in other words, animals that were bearing children, and what happened to their offspring if they were fed excitotoxins during their pregnancy.
Well, one of the most important studies was done out of Israel at the university there, and they found that when you fed pregnant animals MSG, when the offspring were born, they initially appeared normal as long as they were concerned with simple tasks. But once these offspring were tested for complex thinking, they found they were severely impaired, almost as if they were retarded. The second part of the study, they measured the different neurochemicals, that is, the transmitters in the brain, to see what had happened. And they found that these animals had an 80% reduction in acetylcholine, which is a very important transmitter for memory function, plus other transmitters were significantly decreased as well. And that these remained decreased throughout the entire period of the childhood, so that they were producing severe cognitive problems. And, of course, in the adult, in the human, that would be translated to a child being able to carry out normal functions and play. But once they attained high school status and had to do higher math, they would be found to be significantly impaired. And that's sort of what we're seeing a lot of today, that children are able to do simpler things, but they're having a lot of difficulty with complex thinking.
What about the whole idea of attention deficit disorders and some of these very serious neurological findings we're having in our children? Is there anything to suggest that there may be some part played with these excitotoxins in producing that sort of dysfunction?
Well, in my estimation, looking at hundreds of research papers and analyzing them, I think there's growing evidence that it may indeed play a very important part. And I say that for two reasons. One is that the neurochemical changes are very similar to excitotoxin injury that I talked about. Second is that we know excitotoxin injury damages the hypothalamus and affects the endocrine system. And if you look at children that have ADD and ADHD, they also have frequent endocrine problems, a high incidence of hypothyroidism, hypoinsulinism. There's just several different endocrine problems we see in these children. So it pretty much fits the syndrome that we see in experimental animals exposed to excitotoxins.
Well, now, you as a neurosurgeon see a lot of people, I'm sure, with dementia. Are we seeing more dementia and more Alzheimer's disease today than in decades past?
Yeah, if you look at the last 20 years, there's been a significant increase in all of the neurodegenerative diseases. Alzheimer's disease, ALS, which is Lou Gehrig disease, Parkinson's disease, they're all increasing. And it's a real increase. It's not just due to aging of the population, which would be one explanation, but we're seeing there's a true increase in neurodegeneration. In the last 20 years, there's been a 400% increase in these disorders like ADD and ADHD. So if you look at the whole complex area of brain function, all of these things are starting to deteriorate, and these diseases are increasing in incidence.
Well, now, is there anything that in the scientific studies that might suggest there's a relationship between this dramatic increase in degenerative neurological disease and the just the fact that over this last 20 years we've had aspartame and all of these excitotoxins, MSGs, put into all of our food? Is there any possible causal relationship?
Well, actually, there's an enormous amount of the literature that indicates that if we look at it, the central cause or the theory or hypothesis of the cause of all of these degenerative diseases is an excess of a substance called glutamate, which is the same glutamate that's in MSG. Aspartic acid or aspartate from NutraSweet or aspartame is converted in the body to glutamate. So in the end game, glutamate seems to be the trigger for all of this degeneration of the nervous system and for the ADD syndrome. So if you look at the big picture, you see that it's an enormous increase in dietary excitotoxins that can penetrate the brain. It's associated with an increased free radical damage to the brain structures. All of this has been proven. So the central picture is beginning to form that this is the cause of all of these degenerative diseases. And we find that they overlap. We see patients now frequently that have Parkinson's disease and ALS, Parkinson's disease and dementia. So these diseases aren't pure disease, they're overlapping. And again, that would go with the toxic theory.
But, you know, if this is really the case, why isn't the government doing something about it? I mean, why isn't the Federal Drug Administration taking this off the market? Sir, we saw this with L-tryptophan, where we had a few cases of, certainly toxic reactions from that, from the L-tryptophan that was put out by one Japanese producer. And to this day, you can't get L-tryptophan anymore to use, you know, as a sleeping agent, although it really was very, very effective, and many of my patients benefited from it, yet that's been totally taken off the market because one company had a bad batch of this, and yet nothing is being done to stop our young people and certainly our adults from consuming tremendous amounts of this. Lots of people are, you know, drinking 5 or 6 Diet Cokes a day because it's non-fattening.
I think what people need to think about when they consume aspartame is that it's actually a toxic soup if you look at it. It's composed of phenylalanine, which in these high doses is toxic to the brain, particularly the brain of a forming child. Methanol, which is methyl alcohol, which is extremely toxic, is considered a poison by the FDA. The FDA requires that the level of methanol in any product that's consumed be far less than they allow in NutraSweet. And then it's made of aspartic acid, which is an excitotoxin. Plus, when these three substances enter the body, they break down into even more toxic compounds like diketopeperazine, formaldehyde, formic acid, phenylethylamine. Up to 6 to 10 different compounds are formed. And we know there's a new paper that just came out that really should drive the nail in the coffin of this whole issue. And that is, they found that when you expose animals to aspartame, they produce very high levels in their tissue of formaldehyde, which is a very powerful carcinogen, and that it coagulates the proteins in the cell, it severely damages the DNA, and that it's an accumulative effect. That is, the more you drink, the more you consume, the higher the concentration in the cell, the greater the damage. And this is why complaints about aspartame exceed all other food complaints sent to the FDA. Something like 75 to 80% of all complaints have to do with aspartame.
But many years ago, why the government had, the FDA had this report that said that some people will have a severe reaction to this. And when the government interpreted that report, they said, well, but most people don't have any reaction, so we can go ahead and use it. What was the story on that?
Well, as you see, that's the whole secret, is what we're finding. It's not people who react and don't react. This is a toxin. That's like saying some people react to the arsenic and others don't.
Right.
We know everybody reacts to arsenic. The higher the dose, the worse the reaction, all the way to death. The FDA lists death under other.
Other complications,
other
right.
Other complications. Hey, there's been deaths associated with aspartame consumption.
When we get back, we're going to have to take a break now, but when we get back, we want to get into, if we can, why it is that the Federal Drug Administration has really covered up most of this and has allowed the widespread distribution of a potentially dangerous and neurotoxic substance, which is being consumed in tremendous quantities by both the youth and adults of our nation. Now, our special guest this afternoon is Dr. Blaylock, and he is a neurosurgeon. And where do you practice? Whereabouts?
Jackson, Mississippi.
Jackson, Mississippi. And he is certainly an accredited and well-qualified neurosurgeon. I've known of Dr. Blaylock for many years. He writes regularly for the Medical Sentinel. But his book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, is a book that everybody in the listening audience who is concerned about their children or grandchildren should read. Dave Wilson, who is my producer, asked if I could ask you if it's all right to have at least one Diet Pepsi a day.
I wouldn't drink any.
All right, fine. There's your answer, Dave. And I think that people really have to understand that they've unleashed something that is terrifying here, and we wonder why we have so many people who are developing progressive mental changes far younger than they would have ordinarily. And why, you know, one of my concerns is that so many pregnant women are drinking this, and of course, the effect that it has in the minds of their children. Doctor, we now would have a new listening audience with us. We've joined our shortwave affiliate. Would you mind briefly touching on the toxic effect of pregnant women drinking these various drinks that have excitotoxins in them?
Well, the effect on the pregnant women is of great concern, and the companies that use NutraSweet have been pushing it to the obstetricians to get their patients to use this product. What we know from the research is that one of the components, phenylalanine, when it's fed to a human being, for instance, the pregnant mother, her blood level increases dramatically up to sixfold, that is 600% higher. And that in experiments in pregnant animals, we find that when their blood levels go up that high, and even in humans, there's a 10-point drop in humans of the IQ quotient of the baby. So if they consume NutraSweet drinks, they're lowering the IQ of their baby. They've also found that in experimental animals, you can do the same thing, and there's a 10% reduction in the cognitive function of that animal. So we're seeing it both in animals and in humans, this effect. Now, if we look at the excitotoxin, that is the aspartic acid part of aspartame, we see that it also can cause severe disruption of brain formation, so that not only does it damage the cells themselves, but it'll cause the brain to be miswired. That is, the little connections don't connect properly. And this can produce profound changes throughout the rest of the child's life. It may be very subtle, for instance, learning difficulties, emotional problems, difficulty adapting, endocrine problems from subtle to serious. So it depends on the dose that the child receives from their mother. Also, you have to remember that when people are consuming diets, they're consuming diets that are high in MSG, and then they're drinking aspartame-sweetened drinks, aspartame-sweetened foods. So you get a combination effect, which we call synergy, and that is when they're combined, they're more toxic than the individual toxin alone. So people are consuming this toxic soup, and they don't realize the profound implications of that to their offspring, particularly in the case of pregnant women.
All right, and it's not that the government doesn't know this, but certain bureaucrats within the Federal Drug Administration have chosen simply to suppress this information. Would that be a fair statement?
That's exactly right, and as I was discussing about the Bressler report, in the Bressler report, when they repeated this brain tumor and tumor study and said that there were no increase in tumors with their second study, Dr. John Olney, who's a neuroscientist, neuropathologist, said this just doesn't sound right, and he encouraged the Federal Food Administration to look at it. And so they sent Jerome Bressler, who is a PhD, to look at this research that was done, and what they discovered is that the animals had been switched so that animals that were supposed to be controls were also getting NutraSweet, They found that the slides where the brain tumors had been located had been removed and described as normal. They found animals that were supposed to have died in the experiment at one day miraculously came back alive. And the conclusion of the Bressler report was that either this was the shoddiest research that had ever been done or is designed to give a result that they wanted.
And, of course, there's a lot of money involved in this product, isn't there?
There's billions of dollars involved. They're making billions off of aspartame. And, of course, what happened as the committees from the FDA, which was composed of scientists, met, they looked at this data and said, well, we think that this is enough question of serious brain damage, it shouldn't be approved. Then Arthur Hall Hayes, who was the commissioner of the FDA at the time, overrode their decision and approved it anyway. Then 2 months later, he quit the FDA, went to work for a public relations firm for G.D. Searle Company, the maker of NutraSweet.
Do you think we might think that there might be some secondary gain then from subjecting the entire population to this potentially lethal substance? After all, as Dave Wilson was just saying, follow the money. Now, let me give out our telephone numbers. If you'd like to call Dr. Blaylock, and do you have any question, because this is a very important subject, and we would not have Dr. Blaylock back again if this wasn't something that you really need to know about. The telephone number here in the Central Coast, 464-8295, that's 464-8295. Out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And let's go to Claire. Hi, Claire.
Hello, Doctor, and hello, Dr. Blaylock. I'm just so grateful for your show. Does your book on excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, does it cover all these things you're talking about?
Well, it covers that and a whole lot more.
Go ahead.
It goes into a lot of detail.
I know a family with several children, and when I see them, no matter what time of day, with meals, they're using soft drinks instead of even water or milk. And this includes an infant on up through teenagers, and they have terrible behavior problems.
Sure.
Are the generals, I'm presuming they are, but I don't know if the general soft drinks have the same things in them that you're talking about.
Well, all diet drinks have aspartame.
But if they're not diet drinks, if they're just regular
drinks,
soda
they
pop.
They don't have aspartame.
All right. If they're not diet drinks, why, they probably have sugar or something like that.
Oh, I know they have terrible things, but I wasn't sure if they had as much damaging.
They would not be damaging in this respect.
But they still would be damaging and certainly affecting behavior.
Well, not necessarily. What would your thoughts on that be, Doctor?
Well, we don't have any real strong evidence, but I don't advise children to drink carbonated, caffeinated sweet drinks. It's just not a good practice, and it sets them up for later reactive hypoglycemia.
Right.
Sure,
some
and
children
it
are reactive hypoglycemics, and they will behave that way.
Okay, fine. Thanks.
May I ask, what would you have us, to whom should we protest?
You protest to the FDA, to your congressman, and demand
FDA and congressman.
An investigation.
And I think that there is going to be some action taken very shortly, Claire, but I'm not at liberty right now to tell you about it. But you'll be one of the first ones to know if you continue listening to Radio Liberty.
You bet. Hey, and may I ask, is there some particular agency in the FDA or just FDA generally?
Just FDA generally.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks so much,
bye
Claire.
Bye.
Let's go to Tony here. Hi, Tony. Hi, Tony. Tony?
Yep.
Hi, do you have a question to comment?
Yes, I do. Back in the early 80s, I used to drink a lot of one particular diet drink. I won't say which one. And I found that I had a great amount of difficulty in remembering things. I worked in sales, and I started getting worried about it. And I heard a program about NutraSweet, and I thought, well, maybe that's it. So anyway, I quit drinking the darn stuff. And sure enough, I was able to start remembering things better again. And basically, I was in sales, and I had to remember the names of hundreds of people. And then after that, what would happen is if I even take a sip of a diet drink or anything with NutraSweet, I'll get a migraine headache immediately.
Doctor, what do you think about what Tony said?
Well, what I want to know, though, is that does NutraSweet, will it actually pass through your system, or will your body, eliminate it in the, elimination process, or is it something that's retained?
Is it, in other words, cumulative effect? Did you hear what Tony was saying?
Right. There's a couple of things that you need to know. Is number one, the effect of an Alzheimer-like syndrome is very common. We're seeing and hearing that a lot. and that goes along with both excess aspartic acid and the methanol formaldehyde, that it produces some changes in the parts of the brain that have to do with memory. Generally, that's physiologic, and if you stop it soon enough, you recover.
Yeah, Tony, it's a good thing you stopped.
The second thing is the triggering of migraine is a very, very common. Headaches are the number one complained of symptom. And it sometimes takes minute doses, even chewing gum with aspartame in it.
Oh, that'll do it to me. I'll
get
a migraine.
There's a recent report out on that in children producing severe headaches with aspartame sweetened chewing gum. And the effect can last for days, for as much as 3 to 4 days after the exposure. So that's a very common symptom. The other thing you need to know about accumulation is what I was talking about, the formaldehyde accumulation. Formaldehyde is removed very slowly. The methanol is removed very slowly. And this tends to accumulate around the DNA of the cell, and this can lead to cancer with prolonged exposure. So the secret is to get off of it, stay off of it, and let this clear as much as it'll clear. But DNA damage by formaldehyde is very severe, and it's difficult for the cell to repair.
Okay, let's go to Larry from Paso Robles. Hi, Larry.
Hello, Dr. Stan.
How you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Fine. Did you have a question or comment?
Well, yes. First of all, I've never really heard about this before. It seems like maybe I've heard something on your show before, but I don't remember it, so
You've been drinking too much soft drink, diet drinks.
No, I don't drink that at all. I haven't in years. Anyway, first thing is, you were saying aspartame earlier, and Dr. Blaylock was saying aspartame. Is that the same thing, like potatoes, or?
Right, I think so. Would you want to comment on that?
Well, part of the aspartame is called aspartic acid, right, or aspartate. And that may be what you did, but aspartame is the molecule itself, which is a combination of phenylalanine, methanol, and aspartic acid.
Okay, Larry, we're going to have to go to a break. Do you want to hang on until we get back?
Yeah, I just got another quick question after the break.
Okay, fine. Will you just hang on to that?
Okay.
And we'll want to talk a little bit about the Chinese food. Apparently, one of the problems with Chinese food is people will get so much MSG in it. But right now, we're going to let Dave tell us about some of the other items available from Radio Liberty. We've got Larry from Paso Robles. Larry, you had another question for Dr. Blaylock?
Yes, Dr. Blaylock. My question was, with aspartame, is that, now, again, I'm coming from the ground floor, is that both in the NutraSweet and the MSG?
The aspartame is different from MSG, and that MSG is glutamic acid. The aspartame is two amino acids and methanol. But both of them contain an excitotoxin. Aspartame contains aspartic acid, an amino acid, and MSG contains glutamic acid.
And, of course, these are both potentially toxic as far as brain cells are concerned. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, in fact, aspartic acid and glutamic acid produce the same lesions in the brain.
Okay, anything else, Larry?
No, that was it. Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. Now, I remember when I was practicing medicine, we had something that was called the Chinese restaurant syndrome, and people would go to a Chinese restaurant, and they'd get a lot of MSG in the food, they'd stand up, and they'd just sort of pass out. What was that from?
Well, that part of the syndrome is a little bit different, and this is what was confusing to a lot of people. They'd say, well, I don't react to it that way. You know, I can tolerate it fine. They thought it was just a small portion of the population that reacted. But what the Chinese restaurant syndrome is, it's MSG acting on nerves outside of the central nervous system. They develop flushing, heart palpitations, sweating profusely. So they develop some outward symptoms that are quite disturbing. But what happens in most people is very subtle. They may have a mild headache. They may have a little confusion, disorientation. It's the chronic, everyday assault on the nervous system that's producing the problems. And what's really disturbing to me is a recent report has found that MSG causes cells to produce an enormous number of free radicals, and it produces these free radicals for years after the exposure. And, of course, cancer is related to free radical generation, so this would put people in a high risk of developing cancer. And may explain some of the increases in cancer rates.
Well, what can the average individual do out here? We're just sort of victims of the whole system. The Federal Drug Administration, exactly as the EPA and so many of our other government agencies, are influenced by the people with the big bucks. Our people are being subjected to all sorts of toxins, you know, and we hear these environmentalists talking, oh, this terrible thing, you know, we have an oil spill, and we're really so concerned about the environment, and but we're not concerned about poisoning people. We're concerned about the whales and the snails and the turtles and the tortoises, but when we're poisoning large parts of our population, and not just with the excitotoxins, but with some of the other products, and I'll specifically mention this effort to fluoridate water all across America, which we know produces cancer and has an effect on the mind and increases bone fragility and lowers fertility, all of these things. And yet, how can we begin to fight something like aspartame when the big bucks are on the other side?
Well, it's extremely difficult, but I think until the battle can be settled in the courts, what people have to do is, number one, avoid anything with aspartame in it, and that includes a lot of medications. They have to avoid anything with MSG or its disguised names. They have to read labels on foods, these processed foods. What will occur is something like hydrolyzed vegetable protein, sodium caseinate, textured protein, carrageenan. There's just all sorts of disguised names of MSG now, because they know the public is slowly becoming aware of the toxicity. So you have to have a list of these names, which is in the book. You have to check the labels, eat fresh fruits and vegetables, avoid processed food as much as you can. It's very high in soup. Most commercial soups have enormously high glutamate levels. That's what makes it taste so good. Glutamate is a taste enhancer, and it makes foods taste delicious. So if you buy a processed food and you think it's really delicious, it probably has a lot of these excitotoxins in it.
And, of course, they're sneaking those things in. It's great for sales, but, of course, it can have potentially lethal effects.
Yeah, we've had quite a few reports nationwide of people dying after MSG exposure. A lot of emergency room visits with what seems like a heart attack, and they cannot find anything wrong with the coronary arteries. What it is an MSG reaction. We think the MSG is acting through the hypothalamus, producing heart arrhythmias as the heart starts beating uncontrollably, and some die from it. And it's never diagnosed because doctors don't know to look for MSG toxicity.
Well, now, why hasn't the American Medical Association come out and, told the doctors and told the public about this very real threat to our health?
Well, I think this is the big scandal. If you look at where the money's going from Monsanto, which now owns the NutraSweet company, they pump money into the MS Society, the Multiple Sclerosis Society. They're telling their members to use NutraSweet. NutraSweet is enormously toxic to people with MS. They're telling, they're sending money to the obstetrician, to the office of the obstetrician with pamphlets and discounts for diet colas, encouraging women to drink it while they're pregnant. They're sending it to the Diabetes Association, donating big money to the Diabetes Association to encourage them to get diabetics to use it, and we know it's very toxic to diabetics. So they're putting money in places that are encouraging the use of it and discouraging criticism of this product.
Well, now, why would anybody, over and above the desire to make a fast buck, be doing something that would be hazardous to the health of the American people? I understood that with the pregnant women, lots of times they were giving them coupons so that they could get it for little or nothing.
Oh, yeah, you look in the obstetrician's office, they all have coupons for diet colas.
Right, and so basically what they're doing is not the profit motive. Is there some other motive behind all of this?
Well, I think a lot of it is profit motive because they want to continue to promote the product, but then it's also to make the case that we're, the Monsanto company wants to make the case, we're convinced that this is a very safe product. That's why we promote it to all of these different people.
Yeah, but they have the studies. They know the potential dangers as far as cancer and the destruction of the mind.
Well, what they can't do now, since they've been promoting this so heavily all this time, they can't come back now and say, well, we were wrong, we've looked at the studies, it's dangerous, we're going to pull it off the market. Because that would invite tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of lawsuits against them.
But
once the American public realizes this, there's going to be a flood of lawsuits against Monsanto.
But I understand that there actually are some lawsuits that are being contemplated to try to bring this out, because since we can't trust the government. In fact, the government was subsidizing tobacco growers, you know, all the time saying it's hazardous for your health, but they never did anything. It took the lawyers, and I hate to say that, it wasn't the doctors that stopped the tobacco companies, it was the lawyers, and maybe they were in it maybe only for the money, but at least they've made it extremely difficult, and they certainly dramatized the terrible, terrible consequences of smoking.
Well, and at the same time, right at this very moment, they're still subsidizing the growing of tobacco.
Right. You sort of wonder what their real objective is there in Washington, D.C.
Well, you don't know. There's so many revolutionaries in Washington, D.C., and left-wing radicals, you know, of extreme order. There's no telling.
Right. Well, if you wanted to destroy a country, you couldn't do a better job than they're doing.
Well, we know that the drug trafficking in the United States was hatched from Khrushchev. As an operation to destroy American youth and the moral fiber of America, that's been proven. So if the Soviet Union was using drugs to destroy America, others could use food products to do the same thing if they had a mind to. Anything's possible.
What about other sugar substitutes? What about saccharin, things like that? Is there anything that's safe for a sugar substitute?
Well, I think saccharin is probably safe. We don't have any studies that show that it's dangerous, and it's certainly nowhere near the magnitude of aspartame. It's just a small amount of saccharin and dextrose, and I think it's probably safe to use. Cyclamates were removed, and now they found out that they're not carcinogenic at all or DNA damaging, so that may come back. But like you were saying about the tryptophan, once they take it off, it never seems to come back. It's just difficult to ever have it released, even though tryptophan itself is perfectly safe.
It's an essential amino acid, as I remember.
Right, and it's very essential to the brain because the serotonin that it produces helps reduce excitotoxicity. Aspartame actually reduces brain serotonin, and that's why they think it makes depression significantly worse and increases the likelihood of suicide.
So one, they take off the market, which is beneficial. The other, they keep on the market, which is detrimental. And the American people wonder why there's so much disease and tragedy and people who have difficulty thinking clearly, maybe that's the reason why Bill Clinton has such high popularity polls today. Anyway, Dr. Blaylock, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. I hope I can call on you again in the not-too-distant future.
You've been listening to an interview with Dr. Stan at Radio Liberty with Dr. Russell Blaylock. For other messages available from Dr. Stan at Radio Liberty, you can contact them at P.O. Box 13, Santa Cruz, California, 95063, or by phoning 1-800-544-8927. God bless.